Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, May 2nd of 2022. And I am your host on the Miracle Man program tonight, and it is real good to be with you. Great to be with you, as it always is. And we have there was so much stuff that I wanted to get to tonight that some of it I am going to get to tomorrow night. But there's other things that I want to get to tonight. And it's Mother's Day week, so but like I said, it's so good to be with you. For those of you tuning in from around the world, of course, great to have you. Whether you're here in Mid-Michigan, where I'm from, or you're from Asia, Africa, Europe, and there's a couple of things I want to, something I want to mention real quick first. Now, this is actually really good, and it's really refreshing. So, all this crazy stuff that's been going on, well, there's been some pushback now that's happening, and I'm glad about this. For one, the governor of Florida has signed a bill that basically makes it, cancels the district that Disney, that they basically created for Disney over 50 years ago. Because of what Disney has done, they basically no longer get to keep their self-governing status. And yes, Disney will be paying their taxes as opposed to all the residents of those two counties having to pay Disney's taxes. So that's a good thing to note. So I'm glad that the governor of Florida, Governor DeSantis, has been taking a stand for not only being open, but also for not grooming and perverting our children, even at young ages. Now, Disney doesn't call, won't call it that. They won't call it, they won't call it grooming, but that's what they're doing. And now, the biggest oil company, one of the biggest oil companies in the world, ExxonMobil, just announced that on Pride Day, next time they have that big Good Pride Day, no one will be allowed to fly the Pride flag on the properties of ExxonMobil Corporation. And that is real good to see. People are taking a stand. And this year in America, in most of the states this year, we have elections for governors. So we can take a stand in that way. And in many cases, even county sheriffs. The most, think about this, listeners. If you, those of you who live in America, like I do, the most powerful person and your county is basically the county sheriff. Of course, in your city, it's the mayor. In your state, it's the governor. But, like, so, and what is the United States of America? And so, for those of you who are saying, oh, but take a stand, oh, we can, you know, pray in a few months, maybe throughout the next few months, and then vote in November. Oh! Primaries. In multiple states, primaries are tomorrow. Like Ohio. I mean that state to the south. And other places. If you do not like who your governor is, for example, because they've bowed to tyranny or they've have the opportunity to vote in the primary for who you want that replacement to be. So I plan to vote, and now here up here in my state, our primary isn't until August. But in some other states, like I said, it's tomorrow. And in Ohio, for example, for a Senate race, they have someone for a national Senate race, someone's basically retiring. So there's a primary there's a Republican in there right now, but there's going to be a primary because there's multiple different candidates. So when you primary vote, this, folks, is where the more people that stand up and vote for good, righteous candidates, or the most righteous candidate, the more Christians that vote in these primaries, the better difference. The more difference that can be made. Oh, really, Miracle Man? Yeah. Let's just say in my state, we had a good Christian governor. I mean, a good person, good Christian person running for governor, and then they win the primary because of the amount of good, God-fearing Christians that went out there and voted. So don't just wait until November, please. Because if we do that, we can help revolt the right way. We can help continue the pushback. Because and if you look at the current president's approval ratings, they are very low. In fact, whatever CNN, ABC's a fake news, and others are telling you they're probably, because they'll mess with the polls and what have you. Those ones are low. So whatever conservative pollster, they would say it's even lower than that. But by any means, please, if you're in a state that has a prime, that has a primary tomorrow, I'm looking at you, Buckeyes, get out there and vote. Or if you voted early, then pray you made the right choice. Because as Christians, it's a responsibility to vote. There's a verse that comes to my mind right now, so I can give you a Bible perspective on this, and so you don't just think that I'm sitting here on my rocker on a soapbox. So let me give you this verse. In Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "If my people, whom are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, if they seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." And let me tell you, America could use some serious healing right now. And in so many cases, I'm even thinking even right down to a local level. So those local races do have importance. They do. So obviously keep praying for our country. And vote and sign petitions. Like when I hear about a good petition, like to get a real good America First person on the ballot, I sign it. And we have a couple of Supreme Court cases that could really help to change some things in America. The Roe Wade case will be heard this year. And then there's a case that involves a coach that was fired because he was leading his football team in prayer at a school. I don't know if that's going to be heard this year or next year, but pray for the Supreme Court that they would rule the right way. Amen. Because I pray that they rule the right way. If they do, that could be more pushback. And for those of you who say, "Oh, getting the Supreme Court, you know, to vote the right way, and me voting the right way, and we'll fix everything." No, it's not going to fix everything. What we really need in this country is revival. We need more Jesus. We need pastors. More pastors that have fire in their bellies. That's what we need. Praise God. This is just something I had on my heart the last couple of days. Just kind of, you know, letting you know what's going down. And so, praise God. Now, I do want to mention the things that I normally mention on the show. And that is, and first of all, the first one I want to mention to you is the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life, how gracious God has been, how great God's been. And it's a great read. You'll be glad you read it. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out info. Again, that is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com. That's R-I, not R-Y, so that you have an understanding of where to go. And so, yeah, that's what you can do. Riversofmiracles.com, R-I, in order to find out information about the book and how to get the book into your hands. And it's a great read. And I thank God that my mom gave her life to Christ 9 months before that she gave birth, that she gave her life to Christ months before she had me. And so, thank God for that. And Mother's Day is coming up. We'll be talking some about that tomorrow and Wednesday. My mom got back from Honduras the other day, and we'll be having her on tomorrow to talk about how that went and what did she do ministry-wise in Honduras. So that's going to be great. I thought about doing that tonight, but then with the material, because of, you know, certain states and what have you, I wanted to get that thing about voting and that out there tonight. So that's why I did that tonight, as opposed to waiting until tomorrow night to do it. I felt like it was in my heart. So so you can go online to the website to buy the book. The other thing I want to remind you about real quick is sowing to the Miracle Man program. If this show has been a blessing to your life, why not consider sowing a seed into the Miracle Man program? As you sow your seed, it helps us keep going. It helps us keep reaching people. The more people we can reach, the more that can go to heaven with us, the way I see it. And I'm believing God to take as many people with me to heaven as possible. That's the way that I honestly see it, is I want people to go to heaven with me. I really do. Amen. And you should as well. Yes, you should. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Jesus. And so, to sow your seed, go online to paypal.com. In the search bar, please type in River Shukla, which is my name, R-Y-V-E-R-S, and then the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind, there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing I want you to keep in mind, please, is that the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla are both capitalized. So please make a note of that. And so the verse I want to sow into your life tonight is where it says, I wish above all things that you would prosper, even as your soul prospers. So how's your soul doing? So just take that to heart. Think about it. Now, we're going to sing a couple songs, and then we're going to get into the word of the Lord tonight. We'll see what God has for us. This evening. I was buried beneath my shame. Who can carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was buried but not alive. All my failures I've tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. When you called my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you. Yeah, when you called my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy. Yours would break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. For you've called me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken,
You were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. 'Cause when you call my name, falling out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, love. No. Your presence is all I need. It's all I want, all I seek, and without it, there's no meaning. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, the love I need, and without it, I'm not living. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted high. Your presence is the air I need. It's all I want, all I seek, and without it, there's no meaning. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, the love I need, and without it, I'm not living. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted high. There will be no one like you, no one beside you, alone, worthy of all praise. There will be no one like you, no one beside you, alone, worthy of all praise. There will be no one like you. No one beside you. Alone I'm worthy of all praise. There will be no one like you. No one beside you. Alone I'm worthy of all praise. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There's no one like you, God. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. Be lifted high. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. Let your name be lifted high. When the music fades, I give you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You see, you search much deeper within. I call you into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the, come back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made, where it's all about you. And it's all about you, Jesus. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Oh, you never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be than here in your love. Here in your love, there's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. Here in your love, here in your love, there's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. Here in your love. Here in your love, there's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Lord, come before you tonight. It's great to serve you. Great to know that you are our God, and we love you tonight, Jesus. All those of us who are tuned in tonight from wherever we are across this world, tuned in. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us. And you're taking care of us. You're helping us. And just thank you, Master, that for what you are to us, who you are to us. We've worshiped you. We've praised you. And now we're going to study your word for a few minutes tonight. And just thank you, Master, helping us. Thank you that all these listeners that are tuned in tonight would be ready to study your word and to just learn something from you tonight. Something that they can use. Something that's not just, it was nice to hear or whatever. But it'll be something that they can put to use in their life. And I thank you, Lord, that you use me as an oracle to deliver this word tonight. Now, Master, I thank you that every need represented on this program tonight, every body that needs to be healed, every mind that needs to be restored, for that you will do it. And
And I've seen your move. And how you've moved mountains. And I just know that I'll see you do it again. And now I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program. I say that increases in listenership come into this program. I thank you that finances come into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this program. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah. And I want to look here at let me see here. Just making sure I go to the right place. Seven. Hallelujah. So I want to begin on with verse 1. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, who was the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah. King Razan of Aram, and Pekah, son of Amaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allowed, has aligned itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son Shar, your sons Shar, Jashab, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pole on the road to the washerman's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calling, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Razan and Aram and of the son of Ramallah, Aram, Ephraim, and Ramallah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among house and make the son of Tabael king over us. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, on the head of Damascus is only Zan. For 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria. And the head of Samaria is only Rahamaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, your house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God above? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat McDonald's French fries, Big Macs, KFC sandwiches, Chick-fil-A sandwiches. Oh my goodness. Not in there. But the Lord himself, he will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. If the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. In that day, the Lord will whistle for flies from the distant streams of Egypt and for bees from the land of Assyria. They will all come and will settle the steep ravines and in the crevices and the rocks on all of the thorn bushes and at all the water holes. And that day, the Lord will use a razor hired from beneath the river, the king of Assyria, to shape your head and the hair of your legs, and to take off your beards also. And that day, a man will keep alive a young cow and two gnats. And because of the abundance of the milk they give, he will have curds to eat. All who remain in the land will eat curds and honey. And that day, in every place where there were 1,000 vines worth 1,000 silver shekels, they will be only birds and thorns. Men will go there with bow and arrow. And the land will be covered with rivers and thorns. As for all the hills, once cultivated, you will no longer go there. And here, the briars and thorns. They will become places where cattle are turned loose and where sheep run. Go with me to 9. Isaiah 9. Nevertheless, we'll look at, start at verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no gloom for those who go, for these who were in distress. In the past, he rumbled. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee with the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. There people walking in distances have seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as the people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice on dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar above their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every gun battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destroyed for burning. Will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. For the government will be upon his shoulders. No, that's not the U.S. government. That's not Big Brother. Oh, you country. So this, nope, it's not the government. Of the, like a national government, but the government of Jesus. Church government shall be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. With the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So what you see here is the Lord spoke to Isaiah, and Isaiah was, in fact, a prophet. He could see things years in advance, and he prophesied them. Now, Dr. Barclay, who is my pastor, he's a prophet. And he sees things that God shows him, and he prophesies them. prophets don't necessarily do all their work in the pulpit. Sometimes they're used in their court and outside of the pulpit, especially a lot of major prophets. There's minor prophets, there's major prophets. My pastor is considered to be a major one. And yesterday, pastor was not in town, but Reverend Randolph showed a clip yesterday of a couple different times a certain Methodist pastor had went to three different places. Three different Dr. Barclay meetings back in the early 2000s. One in Chattanooga. The first one was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Another one was in Phoenix City, Alabama. Wherever Phoenix City is, I don't know, but that's beside the point. And then the third one in Chattanooga, Tennessee. First time, Dr. Barclay did not know him. Second time, he knew him a little more. Third time, he knew him most of all. And God showed Dr. Barclay these certain things that would happen. And this Methodist pastor is now seeing those things come to pass. Even though those prophecies were 20 years old. And Isaiah, that prophecy didn't happen for a couple hundred years, a few hundred years. The prophecy of Jesus would come to the earth and, you know, he would be a wonderful counselor and that. And if you see what I did there, listeners, I did that because that was a good, godly, a good example, a relevant example that I could give where things were prophesied through a prophet. And then they came to pass. And I didn't want to read as much about like where a prophecy or prophet, you know, prophesied calamity on a city. Because I was not going to turn this into a big doom and gloom thing. I wanted to show you an example of a great thing that was prophesied in the Bible, which then happened. Let's just say you hear a good, godly, true prophet. Now you have to watch out for false prophets. There are false prophets. Jesus said, beware of false prophets. There are false prophets that might prophesy things. Folks, there were people prophesying with the election. This last election of things that they saw, things where they said that God showed them that Trump won the election. But, well, he's not in there. And I wish more of them would have said it. I missed it. I repent to Jesus. I'm sorry I misled you. Maybe he actually won. But with that whole thing with the left and all the possible fraud, and what have you. I'm not going to say I know it all, but I'm just giving you an example. But he's not, you know, not, but Jesus said, beware of false prophets who will say, here he is, or there he is, and we're told not to be deceived by them. Now, Dr. Mark T. Barclay is a true prophet called by God. In my mind, one of the best prophets we have. Because he's not only a... Because you have people who might be great, born again, spirit-filled, fire-baptized pastors, who have pastors under them. But they might not be prophets. Just because the prophet prophesied something, that doesn't mean that it's going to happen tonight or tomorrow. Like even if he calls you out and says, you will be a preacher, for example, you will be a preacher, and your brother will fly airplanes and that was prophesied over me when I was very little. And Reverend Randolph had someone come up to the pulpit yesterday morning and explain. You know, there were certain things that God prophesied over me in the late 90s and around 2000. That in the last couple of years, God's been using me for. So, some things can be for the now. Meaning like today, tomorrow, or they can be for not for years. I don't know how much time we have left, but Jesus could come tonight. But here's what a true prophet will not say. Dr. Barclay has not said this yet. I'm sure, and I trust that he won't. If you hear a prophet say, this is when the Lord will come. He will come on such and such a date. And here's why. Like 2023 reasons why the Lord's going to come in 2023. Or 2022. If you read a book like that, if you see a title like that, don't read it. Someone literally wrote a book almost 35 years ago. 88 reasons why the Lord is going to come in 88. Did I read it? For one, I wasn't born until a year after, so that was void. That's a flag right there that it was false. So what business would I have reading it? Well, what's the other reason you didn't? What are the other reasons you didn't read it? Well, they're all in one. He did not come in 88. The person who wrote that book was false. I mean, yes, the book was written, but that did not happen. Jesus said he would come on a day that we think not. That doesn't mean there won't be signs. That means that people I'll be thinking, oh, there's time left. What do we get? Years ago, all these churches were preaching that Jesus was going to come. Like before my time even. And around 2000, Dr. Barclay has said multiple times, multiple churches that I know of, like two or three different times that I know of in the last few months, that Dr. Barclay has mentioned about around the Y2K time frame. And all around Y2K time, that little season of time there, like between, like, we'll say late 98 up to New Year's Eve 99 going into 2000. I was like a 9-10-year-old kid thinking about 9-10-year-old things. Now, yes, was being brought up in a Christian home and that, but one thing I never said, will we see the year? I might have said it, but what I mean to say is, like, I wasn't afraid of, like, what'll happen on January 1st of at midnight on New Year's Eve of 99 going into 2000. I never asked my mom what was going to happen. Dr. Barclay was invited to this certain meeting where there's all these different pastors. Some of these pastors, Dr. Barclay even respected. But most all of them were saying, basically all of them were saying, he's going to come. He's going to come. He's going to come. And right about there. He'll be like, maybe it'll be on New Year's Eve. Maybe it'll be right before. Maybe it'll be. And you know what Dr. Barclay said? Folks, he is not coming. He's not coming because you all expect he's going to come. And I'm sure he said, you know, yeah, we're in the last days. And obviously, we're even more in the last days now. But it was like, you're expecting him to come. And Jesus said, I'll come on the day, a time where I think not. It'll be like the day of Lot. It'll be like the day of Noah. But, you know, people bought water. People bought different things. Some people stocked up. Some people were afraid. But nope, I was not afraid because I knew God had us. So about that, I'm just checking something. Sorry about that, but so we trust God. And so that's what I do. But you know, that prophet Isaiah, she heard from the Lord and prophesied what the Lord told him to prophesy. Now, there'll be prophets, true prophets, that'll hear things from God, but God might say, don't say it. You know, don't say that publicly at all. Or I might say, don't say that yet. There'll be a time that I want you to say it, to prophesy it. That good tonight, listeners? Did I help you? Because I just wanted you to see, you know, a good example of biblical prophecy that took place, and that if you had a prophecy given to you through a good biblical, probably, a good born again, spirit filled, God appointed prophet, you got a prophecy, and you're living right, doing what God told you to do, tells you to do and what have you, then, and it hasn't happened yet, it's not void. Don't give up on it. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. I pray that we would just continue to trust in you, and that we would believe your word, and that we would believe. Just know that you are our helper, that you are with us. That when prophecies are given to us, that we would receive them. In your name, Jesus. Now in sports news, the Lions, for their first round draft pick, drafted Hutchinson from Michigan, so hometown star in that sense. He's staying in Michigan. The great defensive end, he's staying in Michigan, going from Ann Arbor to Detroit. So that's good to be able to say that we have, good defensive talent made in Michigan. Now, I don't know where he went to high school at. I'm going to look that up. Lions. Tigers, but that's in a minute. So, another draft news. In 2024, the draft will be in Detroit. Now, being the draft's going to be in Detroit, I plan to be down there for at least part of the events as a Detroit sports fan. I want to be there. And so, baseball. Tigers were not swept in Los Angeles, but they did win on Saturday, but then they lost Friday and Sunday. Red Wings will not be bringing up. They will not be bringing back Jeff Blashill as a coach next season, nor will they be bringing back two of the assistant coaches. I'm grateful for that, because that means they can possibly do better at rebuilding. As in a sense, right now, all four Detroit teams are kind of rebuilding. Hey, and folks, it's time for Detroit teams to start winning playoff games and qualifying for playoffs. No, none of the four Detroit teams has won a playoff game since 2014. None. We can do better. I don't think there's been any city that has all four teams that has been through this. Not DFW. Not LA. Not NYC, one of the others. And by DFW, I mean Dallas-Fort Worth, because a couple of the teams, the Cowboys and the Rangers, play out in Arlington, which is out in the middle. All right, folks. That's it for my take on sports. Until tomorrow, God first, God always. And so long, everybody.